Hey everyone, it's Storytime with Aussie Dad, and today we're going to continue reading The Enchanted Wood. Hey! Alright, so we're up to chapter 28, The Little Lost Island. "Wouldn't you like to wish?" said Moonface, turning to the old Saucepan Man, who was just about to bite his cake. "Fish!" said the Saucepan Man in delight. "Yes, I'd love to fish. I wish we're all fishing for fine fat fishes in the middle of the sea." "Wow! What a wish to make," just as he was eating a wishing cake. Of course, Saucepan didn't know it was a wishing cake, for he hadn't heard Moonface properly. Anyway, the wish immediately came true. A wind blew down and lifted up the whole crowd of guests at the table. Sitting on their chairs, clinging tightly, they flew through the air for miles. Whatever was happening? Down flew the chairs in the big wind. A shower of salt spray drenched everyone. Joe gasped and looked down. Bump! He and everyone else landed on soft sand, rolled off their chairs, and sat up, blinking in surprise. The long-bearded brownies looked frightened. Moonface kept opening and shutting his mouth like a fish, he was so astonished. Joe was cross, and so was the angry pixie. "Now what's happened?" said Dame Washalot in the most annoyed voice. "Why have we come here?"
"Look at all those fishing rods," said Silky, pointing to a whole row of rods standing in the sand with their lines in the water.
"Waiting for us," groaned Moonface.
"Silly old Saucepan didn't hear what I said about wishing. He thought I said fishing, and he wished us all here fishing in the sea."
"Goodness," said Bessie, alarmed. "Where are we then?"
"I think we're on the little lost island," said Silky, looking round. "It's a funny little place, always floating about and getting lost, but there's always good fishing to be had with it."
"Fishing?" said Joe in disgust. "Who wants to go fishing in the middle of a birthday party? Let's get back at once."
"Ding dong, ding dong,"
said Silky's clock, walking about at the edge of the sea and getting its feet wet in the waves.
"Come back, clock," called Silky. "You know you can't swim."
The clock came back and wiped its wet feet on the grass that grew around. Bessie thought it was a remarkably sensible clock, and she wished she had one like it.
"I say, you know, we really must do something about getting back to the land of birthdays," said Joe, getting up and looking around the little island. "What can we do? Is there a boat here?"
There was nothing except the fishing rods. Nobody took up even one of those, for they didn't feel in the least like fishing. The little lost island was just a hilly stretch of green grass and nothing else whatever.
"I really don't know what to do," said Moonface, frowning. "Do you know Mr. Whiskers?"
Mr. Whiskers was dressed up like Santa Claus and looked very fine indeed with his long beard. He rubbed his nose thoughtfully and shook his head.
"The difficulty is," he said, "that none of us has any magic with him because we're all in fancy dress and our other clothes are in the land of birthdays. So the spells and magic we keep in our pockets are not here."
"Well, we shan't starve," said What's-His-Name. "We can always fish."
"Fancy eating fish, and nothing but fish always," said Joe, making a face. "When I think of all those lovely things that Bessie wished for, and nobody to eat them now, really, I could cry." Fanny had something in her hand, and she looked down to see what it was.
It was a piece of the birthday cake.
Good! She could eat that at any rate. She lifted the delicious cake to her mouth and took a nibble.
"What are you eating?" asked Moonface, bending over to see. "A bit of the birthday cake," said Fanny, cramming all of it into her mouth.
"Don't eat it! Don't swallow it!"
yelled Moonface suddenly, dancing around Fanny as if he had gone mad.
"Stop! Don't swallow!"
Fanny stared at him in astonishment. So did everyone else.
"What's wrong with Moonface?" asked Silky anxiously.
Fanny stood still with her mouth full of birthday cake, looking with astonishment at Moonface.
"What's the matter?" she asked with her mouth full. "You've got a bit of the wishing cake in your mouth, Fanny," shouted Moonface, hopping first on one leg and then on the other.
"Wish, you silly girl, wish!"
"What shall I wish?" said Fanny.
"Wish us back in the land of birthdays, of course," yelled everyone in excitement.
"Oh," said Fanny, "I didn't think of that. I wish we were all back in the land of birthdays eating our tea."
Darkness fell around everyone very suddenly. No wind came this time. Moonface put out his hand and took Silky's.
What was happening? Then daylight came back again, and everyone gave a shout of surprise and delight. They were back in the land of birthdays. Yes, there was the table in front of them and more chairs to sit down on, and the same delicious food as before.
Oh, good, 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 shouted everyone and sat down at once. They beamed at one another, very thankful to be back from the little lost island.
What a queer little adventure, said Joe, helping himself to a large piece of wishing cake. Please be careful what you wish, everybody. We don't want any more adventures like that in the middle of a party.
I wish that my wings could fly, said Bessie, as she munched her cake, and at once her silver wings spread themselves out, and she rose into the air like a big butterfly, flying beautifully. Oh, it was the loveliest feeling in the world.
Look at me! Look at me! She cried, and everyone looked.
Fanny called out to her, Don't fly too far, Bessie. Don't fly too far.
Bessie soon flew down to the table again, her cheeks red with excitement and joy. This was the loveliest birthday party she had ever had. Everybody wished their wishes except the old saucepan man, who had already wasted his. Fanny, too, had wished her wish when she was on the little lost island, but when she looked upset because she had lost her wish, Moonface whispered to her,
Don't be upset. Tell me what you really wanted to wish, and I'll wish it for you. I don't want to wish for myself.
Oh, Moonface, you are kind, said Fanny.
Well, if you really mean it, I did want a doll that could walk and talk.
Easy, said Moonface at once. I wish that Fanny had a doll that walks and talks. And at that very moment, Silky cried out in wonder and pointed behind her.
Everyone looked.
Coming along on small, plump legs was a doll beautifully dressed in blue with a bag in its hand. It walked to Fanny and looked up at her.
Oh, you lovely, beautiful doll, cried Fanny in the greatest delight, and she lifted the doll onto her knee.
It cuddled up to her and said,
I belong to you. I am your own doll. My name is Perronel.
What a sweet name, said Fanny, hugging the doll. What have you got in that bag, Perronel?
Oh, my other clothes, said the doll, and opened her bag.
Inside were night dresses, a dressing gown, an overcoat, a Macintosh, overalls, dresses, and all kinds of other clothes. Fanny was simply delighted.
What did you wish, Joe? Asked Bessie.
Joe was looking all around and about as if he expected something to arrive at any moment.
I wish for a pony of my own, said Joe. Oh, look, here it comes. What a beauty!
A little black pony with a white mark on its forehead and four white feet came trotting up to the party. It went straight to Joe.
My own pony, cried the little boy in delight. Let me ride you. I shall call you Blackie.
He jumped on the pony's back and together they went galloping round the land of birthdays.
Now let's play games, cried Moonface, capering about.
And as soon as he said that, the tea table vanished and music began to play.
Musical chairs! Musical chairs! Shouted Silky as the chairs suddenly put themselves together in a long row. Come on, everybody!
Chapter 29. Safe back home again and goodbye. The party went on and on. The game of musical chairs was fun, for instead of somebody taking away a chair each time, the end chair took itself away, walking neatly off and stood watching. Silky won that game. She was so quick and light on her feet. A big box of chocolates came flying down through the air to her when she sat down on the very last chair and pushed Moonface away. She was delighted. Let's all have one, she said, and undid the box at once. Whilst they were eating, they saw a most astonishing sight.
Look, said Moonface, almost swallowing his chocolate in astonishment. What's this coming?
Everyone looked. It seemed like a lot of little brightly coloured men running very upright.
What do you suppose they were?
Crackers! Shouted What's-His-Name, jumping off his seat in delight. Crackers! Running to us! Ready to be pulled!
Really, those crackers were the greatest fun. They ran about on tiny legs, dodging away, trying not to be caught. Everyone ran after them, laughing and shouting. One by one, the crackers were captured, and then they were pulled. My goodness, what glorious things there were inside!
I've got a gollywog brooch, cried Fanny, pinning it on herself.
Oh, what one too, said her doll. "Why, you must catch a cracker then, Perronel," said Fanny, and how she laughed to see her doll running about after a red cracker. Perronel caught one at last and brought it back to Fanny. Inside there was a teddy bear brooch, which Perronel was simply delighted with. Joe found a silver whistle on his cracker. It whistled like a blackbird. Joe was very proud of it. Moonface found a squeaker that squeaked like a cat meowing and made the old saucepan man go hunting for cats all the time. Naughty Moonface. He pressed his squeaker behind the saucepan man and laughed till he cried to hear him calling, "Puss, puss, puss," and looking under tables and chairs. Silky's clock wanted the cracker too, so it ran after one and trod on one to catch it. It held it with its foot and pulled it with Silky. What do you suppose was in it? A tiny tin of polish with the duster wrapped round it. "Just the thing to clean you with," said Silky in delight. The clock was very pleased. It struck 22 times without stopping, much to the walking doll's astonishment. They played hide and seek, and immediately the most exciting bushes and trees sprang up everywhere to hide behind. Really, the birthday land was the most exciting country to be in. Then they played Here We Come Gathering Nuts in May, and two big nut trees grew behind them full of nuts, and a long hedge white with sweet-scented may. It made the game seem very real. When they played Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush, a big mulberry tree grew up as they danced, and the children gave a shriek of delight and picked the ripe red mulberries to eat. You never knew what was going to happen next, but you might be sure it was something exciting. Then they thought they would have races, and hey, presto, they saw a crowd of small motor cars running up, all ready to be raced. It got everyone choosing the car they liked best. There was even a tiny one for Perronel the doll, and an extra one for Silky's clock, who joined in the fun and ding-donged merrily all the time. The old saucepan man won the race, though he dropped a few saucepans on the way. Moonface handed him a box of sweets that had appeared for the winner. "You've won," he said. "Run," said the saucepan man. "All right, I'll run." And he ran and ran just to show how fast he could run when he wanted to. What a noise he made with his kettles and saucepans clattering all around him. "Supper time! Supper time!" shouted Moonface suddenly, and he pointed to a lovely sight. About 100 toadstools had suddenly grown up, and appearing on them were jugs of all kinds of delicious drinks and cakes and jellies and fruit. Smaller toadstools grew beside the big ones. "They are for seats," cried Silky, sitting down on one and helping herself to some acornade. "I'm hungry. Come on, everyone." Bessie flew down from the air. She did so love flying. Fanny ran up with her doll, who followed her everywhere, talking in her little high voice. Joe galloped up on his pony. Everyone was very happy. It began to get dark, but nobody minded, because big lanterns suddenly shone out everywhere in the trees and bushes. As they sat and ate, there came a loud bang, bang, bang. Perronel cuddled up to Fanny, frightened. Silky's clock tried to get onto Silky's knee, scared, but she pushed it off. "What's that?" said Joe, patting his frightened pony.
"Fireworks! Fireworks!" shouted angry Pixie in delight. "Look! Look!"
And there in front of them were the fireworks setting themselves off beautifully. Rockets flew high and sizzled down in coloured stars. Catherine wheels whizzed round and round. Squibs jumped and banged. Golden feathers poured down like fountains. Really, it was glorious to watch. "This is the loveliest birthday party I've ever heard of," said Bessie happily, flapping her big wings as she sat and watched the fireworks. "Lovely things to eat, wishes that come true, most exciting games, glorious crackers, and now fireworks." "We have to go home at midnight," said Moonface, pushing away Silky's clock, which was trying to sit on his toadstool with him. "How shall we know when it's midnight?" asked Fanny, thinking that really it was quite time her doll went to bed. They knew all right, because when midnight came, Silky's clock stood up straight and struck loudly 12 times. Dong, 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 dong. "To the ladder!
To the ladder, cried Moonface, hurrying everyone there. The birthday lamb will soon be on the move. The ladder was there. Everyone climbed down it and called goodbye. The brownies took cushions and slid off down the slippery slip. Mr. Whiskers got his beard caught round the legs of Moonface's sofa and nearly took that with him down the slide. Moonface just stopped it in time and unwound his beard. What about my pony? Asked Joe anxiously. Do you suppose he'll mind sliding down, Moonface? Well, he can't climb down the tree, and he certainly wouldn't like going down in a washing basket, said Moonface. So they sat the surprised pony on a cushion, and he slid down in the greatest astonishment, wondering what in the world was happening to him. Fanny slid down with her sleepy doll on her knee. Bessie carefully took off her wings and folded them up. She didn't mean to have them spoiled. She wanted to use them every day. She was very proud of them. The pony arrived on a cushion of moss quite safely. Joe mounted him. It was dark in the wood, but the moon was just rising, and they would be able to see their way home quite well. Goodbye, called Moonface from the top of the tree. We've had a lovely time. Goodbye, called Silky. Ding dong, said the clock sleepily. Take care of yourselves, shouted What's His Name. Moonface pressed his squeaker loudly and then giggled to hear the saucepan man call, Puss, 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 wherever is that cat? Slishy sloshy, slishy sloshy. Good gracious, was Dame Washlot doing washing already? Joe dodged away on his pony and the girls ran from the tree. Mr. Whiskers got the water all over him, for he was standing nearby and he was most disgusted. Come on, girls, said Joe, laughing. We really must go home. We shall never wake up in the morning. So they went home once more through the enchanted wood, with the moon shining pale and cold between the trees. Wisha, 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 whispered the leaves. Joe put his pony into the field outside the cottage. Fanny undressed Perronel and put her into her doll's bed. Bessie put her wings carefully into a drawer. They all undressed and got sleepily into bed. Good night, they said. What a lovely day it's been. We are lucky to live near the enchanted wood. They were, weren't they? Perhaps they'll have more adventures one day. But now we must say goodbye to them and leave them fast asleep, dreaming of the land of birthdays and all the lovely things that happened there. And that is the end of the book. I hope you enjoyed the book. All right, bye for now.